It's 24 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
As you know, Darren, our show is predicated on people who make a contribution, particularly socially and economically, to people's lives. And we talk to many people from all around Australia who do exactly that. And we're really delighted to have on Spotlight this morning Joanna Quigley, the CEO of New South Wales Council of Social Services, or NCOS. Joanna, thanks for being with us this morning. We're really delighted to have you here and to explain what you're doing.
It's a pleasure to be joining you. Thank you for having me.
Joanna, the New South Wales Council of Social Services, big organisation, represents many, many people. Can you tell our listeners what your role is and what the organisation does?
Absolutely. So, yes, we are the peak body for the social services sector in New South Wales. And our role is to advocate with our members for a New South Wales that's free from poverty and disadvantage, and also for a strong social service sector. We've actually been in existence since 1935, so we have a long history in this state. And we were set up in the aftermath of the Great Depression when, you know, poverty and disadvantage were rampant. There wasn't a lot of government support, if any government support, available for people doing it tough back in those days. And what limited charitable organisations existed were at risk of, you know, not being coordinated, duplicating each other's efforts. So the New South Wales Council of Social Service was established to provide some coordination and to make sure that those most in need were able to access the limited resources available. Of course, since then, our role has significantly evolved. We now have government a lot more committed and providing that social safety net, and a plethora of non-government organisations out there that are very much at the forefront of supporting people who are going through difficult times and in need of support. So it's a really vibrant industry. And NCOS has that key role of supporting our members, advocating for more investment in the sector, but importantly for getting, you know, better outcomes for people who are doing it tough in New South Wales.
And Joanna, can I just say on behalf of Darren and myself and Spotlight, thanks for driving that. While we've not met formally, that they are very strong values and an ethos and a philosophy that both Darren and I adhere to. And this show has done about 160 interviews, and probably 140 of them relate to not-for-profit organisations and trying to help people. So we want to say personally and professionally, thank you for what you continue to do.
And look, thank you to you also, because I think it is a sector that can be sometimes overlooked and not seen as the really important sector that it is, and one that not only really, you know, saves lives and helps people when they're really going through hard times, it makes a significant economic contribution to the state and to New South Wales, and there's so much potential there for the future in terms of jobs growth and economic development, but I think it's often not seen in that light. It's often overlooked, it's often taken for granted. So to have a show like yours that really puts the spotlight on the sector is absolutely fantastic, and I think really helps.
And Darren and I were talking previously, we want to partner more with you for you to highlight the wonderful work you do and the individual organisations that are trying to build a better community. We will never apologise for that, Joanna, and with people like yourself, we are committed to driving that. So we want to work further, more and more with you. Can I just ask you this, please? JobKeeper has come to an end and it's been reduced. How's that? What impact is COVID and that having on the services of your organisations? I mean, I couldn't begin to think the families that that you meet on a daily basis.
Yeah, look, we know that we did have you know, significant numbers of people experiencing poverty and disadvantage in New South Wales before COVID, and particular locations and groups of people, especially vulnerable to poverty and disadvantage. We know some rural, regional and rural communities are really hard hit, but there are also pockets of extreme disadvantage in the suburbs of Sydney, and that different groups, be they, you know, single parents, people with disability, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, can also be particularly at risk. And often these problems are hidden. We don't necessarily see them on a day-to-day basis, or if we're living in a location that is relatively well off, we may not realise the extent of poverty in our community, but it's absolutely there. And I think COVID, unfortunately, has really ramped that up. And as you say, we've now had JobKeeper come to an end and JobSeeker go back to a pretty paltry rate. It's certainly more than it was. It's more than the $40 a day that it was pre-COVID, but it's nothing where what it needs to be in order for people who are, you know, out of work and dependent on this income support to be able to live above the poverty line. So, you know, before COVID, our service system was already very stretched. It was already feeling that demand in the community was increasing, get funding flowing through to the sector so that they could expand their services wasn't necessarily forthcoming. And I think that's even more so the case now that we've got JobKeeper off the boil and JobSeeker back to that very low rate. It just means that our social service sector is really stretched at the seams and is having to turn people away. We certainly have got data that shows that for 2019-20, there were more people turned away from specialist homeless services than were able to receive support, which is a pretty, you know, scary statistic. And we know that rising unemployment equals rising homelessness and that we're going to be seeing more of that into the future. And the big question is, how on earth do these services that are at the front line, that are providing, you know, shelter to people in really dire circumstances, how on earth do they, you know, it's like the magic pudding. They're supposed to somehow stretch and expand and accommodate this growing demand, but there's just absolutely no way that they can do it. So it's a pretty dire situation in a lot of ways, and I think we're going to see it continue to play out in the months ahead.
Joanna, that's scary statistics that you talk about there, and I know you're saying we've got a lot of services, but what more can be done? Is it politically? Is it legislative? Is it just funding? What is the magic pudding that has to stretch to enable us to cope in this time of lack of JobKeeper and reduced JobSeeker?
Look, I think certainly investment is needed. At the moment, we've got, you know, a really fantastic workforce that has risen to the challenge, but it is stretched and people are feeling the strain. They are under it. We've done some surveys and some focus groups, and the amount of mental distress that staff are feeling because of this tsunami of demand that's upon them is really quite frightening. And I think one of the big challenges is that we pay really low rates of pay. It is a very underpaid sector. It's not necessarily work that's traditionally been valued. It's a very feminised workforce. So I think we do have to start valuing this really important work, be it aged care, caring for people with disabilities, supporting women and children leaving domestic violence, or, you know, providing that shelter and meeting other basic needs for people who are homeless. I think we need to really value that work much more significantly and see it as, you know, essential to providing a fair and equitable society. We need to be paying proper wages and we need to be really supporting organisations to be fit for the future, to have the systems and the processes and, you know, the workforce in place that's going to enable them to respond to rising demand, to be able to deal with the really complex needs that are presenting. We have actually seen some positive steps, I have to say. We worked really hard last year with our members and with other peak bodies in New South Wales to put to government some really strong evidence about the level of disadvantage that COVID-19 has brought on New South Wales and where there are particular risks and gaps in the service system and where there was a need to really inject additional funding. And I think in the last budget, which was a delayed budget because of COVID, we did actually see some positive signs There was certainly increased investment in tutoring for students at risk of disengaging, because we know that it's disadvantaged kids who are more likely to drop out of education, and that the, you know, lockdown impacts of COVID would really increase that risk. So we recommended to government that support for students facing that risk and additional tutoring would really help ensure they stay engaged in education, which is so important for their lifetime outcomes. We also saw some increased funding going into mental health supports for teenagers in schools, which, and we know they're a cohort that are particularly vulnerable to poor mental health outcomes, and that COVID was adding to that. We did see some additional investment going into social housing, which is absolutely critical in this state. We would argue it wasn't enough. So much more needs to be done. We have a waiting list of over 50,000, and we know that, you know, the private rental market is out of reach for so many people, and housing is just such a fundamental need in order for people to be able to get on with their lives. But we did see some investment there. And importantly, the New South Wales government has set up this social sector transformation fund, which is all about giving our sector and those important services on the ground an injection of cash so that they can update systems and processes and build their capacity and capabilities so that they are going to be sustainable into the future. So some really positive developments, but I think we need to build on that. That's a really great first start or first step, and we now need to build on that for the future.
Well, Joanna, thank you for joining us at the moment. We're going to go to a little break with the CEO of New South Wales Council of Social Services. You've given a very good overview of where things are at the moment. We'll come back after a short break.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years' worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 10 minutes to 12, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
We're really delighted to have on the line Joanna Quigley, the CEO of New South Wales Council of Social Services. Joanna, just a couple of quick questions to end up. We'd really love, as I said, to partner with you more about what you're doing. How can we be a voice for you? How can we help you and your wonderful organisation? Because Western Sydney is a big player in terms of people and resources and the needs to help people that you've expressed so lovely this morning. How can we help you more?
Yeah, look, you're right. Western Sydney is where, you know, most of Sydney's population lives, and it's also where there's some pretty significant needs, but it's full of diverse and vibrant communities. And so, yeah, we absolutely need to have a strong presence there, and lots of our member organisations are based in Western Sydney. I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. I think providing a platform for organisations like NCOF and those involved in direct service delivery to just explain what we do and promote the value of our work is really important. And yeah, the more we can do that and the more we can appeal to people who may not have realised what our work is about, or who don't necessarily, you know, think a lot about who are those organisations out there supporting homeless people or people impacted by domestic violence. So this is a really, really fabulous opportunity that you've provided and a really great service. And yeah, I think the more we can get some of these organisations onto your program talking about that really important, complex, but often hidden work that they do, the more we're going to raise awareness of these issues and get, you know, more support. And that, in turn, then, I guess, tells government people do value these services. They do think this work is important. It is necessary for governments to invest properly in these services.
Well, Joanna, we would love you to you know, quasi partner with us on a regular basis and promote and highlight organisations, and to have you on telling us at the frontier in football terms, cut the ball up for us to help so that people are better in their living, in their social behaviour, and just allowing them to do things. Thanks for joining us today. We've been absolutely...
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, very blessed to have you today. Joanna Quigley, CEO of New South Wales Council of Social Services. Have a wonderful day from Spotlight, from Darren and myself.
Thank you, same to you. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Alive 90.5.